Good evening. John chapter number 14 this evening, John chapter number 14. Very familiar portion of scripture, one that you've heard preached from before and one that you probably have memorized if you've been to church at all, which I think a couple of you have been here before, so should be familiar ground this evening. Won't be anything new, I don't believe, but I think maybe get a new perspective on a couple things that I think will be helpful to us. And we're going to be in John chapter number 14, going to start reading in verse number 1. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I've heard a couple of congregational songs tonight about heaven, right? And what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Man, that is going to be a great day, isn't it? When we take that last breath of air here on this earth, and we get to take that first breath of heavenly air, and you know, as polluted as the air is here, it's going to be great, right? We're going to have lungs that work perfectly, and we're going to get that first breath of air, and it's just going to reinvigorate us, and it's going to be, we're going to feel better than we've ever felt before. And before that, it's going to come a little bit of a rough time for most people, a time that isn't pleasant to think about, and a time that isn't pleasant to go through, but it is something that all of us must go through, unless the Lord tarries and we get to go up in the rapture, which would be fine with me. But as we think about God's promise and what God has planned for us, it's going to be absolutely wonderful. It's going to be something that the Bible tells us that we can't even imagine how great it's going to be. You know, my daughter Maddie had a birthday party at the ice skating rink, and she just kept saying how great it was. It was the greatest thing ever. It was great. And you know what it was? It was nothing. It was a party at the ice skating rink, but you know what? To her, it was so great. Can you imagine what heaven's going to be? Can you remember those things that you thought were the greatest thing on earth? And man, you had to have it, and you got it, and it was great, but man, heaven is going to be so much better. Heaven's going to be so much better than anything we've ever experienced. It's going to be more beautiful than anything we've ever looked at, and I'm telling you, I've seen some beautiful things. Have you ever seen my wife? So I've embarrassed two members of my family tonight. Got to see where they're at so I can point them out. Heaven's going to be wonderful. It's going to be so much better than here. And one of the things that I'm really going to enjoy about heaven, and this is kind of beside the point, it's just something that I always think about. I'm never going to have to make a decision again. Thank the Lord. I'm not going to have to decide where I'm going to eat tonight, what to make for dinner. You know what? All of those things in life, I just hate making those little decisions that you got to make all the time. I hate that. Heaven, I'm not going to have to worry about that. But the Bible does promise us a place. In verse number 2, it says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." A spot, you might say. An area that is perfectly made just for you. It's not made for someone else. It is not made to suit someone else's preferences. This place is made perfectly just for you. It'll be the most comfortable place you could ever be. It'll be the most, you know what, when you invite someone over to your house, generally speaking, you know, I know this is the way it is at my house. My wife is kind of, you know, getting everything in order and making sure the house is cleaned up and things are picked up. And then, man, it's just a stressful time if you've ever been there, you know, trying to get everything done and making sure everything's right. And, you know, because why? Because when you have someone come into your house, you want it to be presentable, right? You don't want to be embarrassed of the way that your house looks. You want to be able to present it and think, man, you know, enjoy our home. And Jesus Christ is preparing a place for you. He is inviting you to His house, His Father's house. And let me tell you, it's going to be the greatest place ever. And I just, it's just an amazing thing to even think about, that He is preparing a spot just for you. Man, that's special. Man, that's important. mean, we really have something to look forward to. But we can't even imagine how good it's going to be and how fitting it's going to be. You know, some of you people are weird. And your preferences are weird, and you like things, and I think, man, that person's crazy that they like things like that. But you know, when you get to heaven, it's going to fit you. So some of you probably have polka dots all over the walls, you know? I'm going to go in there and think, man, that person was crazy on earth, but in heaven, they're still crazy, you know? Heaven is going to be perfect, and it's going to be fitting for you. You imagine it is an effort. God doesn't have to put any effort into anything. God can speak and things are accomplished. But you imagine the care that God is taking at this moment in preparing that spot for you. Meticulously. Knowing you inside out. Knowing everything that you want. Knowing all about you. And meticulously putting all of those pieces together just so that that place could not be any better then he's made it for you. Man, we have something to look forward to. He has prepared for us a mansion. Verse 3 says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." So that we'll be in heaven with him. It's just a wonderful thing to think about. Now, what are we going to do when we get to heaven? We're going to have a perfect spot that's made just for us. Probably it's going to be the most comfortable place. You probably aren't really going to want to leave, but you know Jesus is there. So that perfect place gets even better when you get to walk outside of your door and you get to see everything else that's prepared. And you get to see Jesus Christ. And all of the things that we're going to enjoy in heaven are going to be there. It's going to be a great thing. But there is a gap here. There's a gap between the time that we get saved and the time that we get to enjoy this spot that God has made for you and for me. And what are we to be doing during that time? Well, I want you to look with me down at verse number 23 for a moment. We're going to start reading in verse number 20. Let me see. Verse number 22, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." Here you realize, but the same word that's translated mansions, a mansion for you earlier in this book, here is translated abode. So in essence, what we have is we have Jesus Christ in heaven preparing a place for you, your abode there in heaven. And at the same time, we ought to be preparing an abode for him because he's living in us. And have you ever given somebody a gift? And you like, you know, you go to the dollar store and you get a nice little Santa hat or something. And it's just one of those nice gifts. You're not giving them a gift because they're, you know, a close friend or anything like that. It's just one of those thoughtful kind of things. Hey, I'm going to give you this. And then that person turns around and gives you something really nice. And you feel about this tall. Don't you hate it when you give someone less than what they give you? You're just totally embarrassed. You feel bad about it. And you think, man, what a heel I am. I should have known. Why didn't I read the signs that this was coming? You know, I should have done better. So next year, I'm going to have to get them something nice. And next year, they're thinking, I'm going to have to get them something not so nice. And then the next year, it just happens in reverse, right? But we're embarrassed when that happens. I mean, I've been embarrassed several times come gift-giving time, you know, where, you know, you re-gift something and it turns out that that's the person who gave it to you. And it's kind of embarrassing. You know, those, you don't want to be that person, right? You know, when those kind of things, they happen because we all do that. Don't pretend like you don't re-gift. But gift-giving, we can sometimes be embarrassed about things, right? But can I tell you that as Jesus Christ is creating and he is making an abode for us in heaven, we should be making a comfortable abode for him here on this earth. And you know what? There's going to come a day that Jesus Christ returns because he said that he would. And how embarrassed are we going to be when the abode that we gave him is nothing compared to the abode that he gave to us? And I know that realistically, we're never gonna get anywhere close to making our abode here on this earth, that is the abode of the Lord, anywhere near as nice as the one that he's going to make for us in heaven. I understand that. But you know what? If we have done everything that we can to make it as comfortable for him as we could have, we're not going to be ashamed when we get to heaven. But you know what? I think that there are going to be a lot of people who, when they get to glory, are going to be ashamed. Because they're going to realize just how much God had done for them and just how little we've done in return. God cares about you as an individual. You know, we think about that a lot as we talk about salvation, that God cares about you as an individual. From the smallest child in this room and to the oldest adult, to all of those in between, God knows each and every one of us on an individual basis. He cares about what is hurting us. He cares about our needs. He cares about our desires. He cares about us intimately. And for him to take that kind of care for us, should we not in return be taking just as much care about what we give him in return? We owe him everything, do we not? Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from him. We owe him a lot. So let me ask you this evening, how is your abode here on earth? How is the abode that you have for the Holy Spirit here on earth? Can the Holy Spirit of God, can Jesus Christ and the person of the Holy Spirit be comfortable in your life? And I think many times we would like to think that we're doing okay and we're spiritual enough. We don't really need to be any better. We can just continue where we're at and it's all right. But you know what? All the while that we're sitting around saying, you know what, it's okay. We can kind of put it in cruise control here. Not really worry about it. Not try to get better. Not try to do more for the Lord. Just sit back and ride out the wave. All the while, Jesus Christ is taking care in heaven. He's taking care to make sure that that place that is for you is perfect. A spot just for you. And you know what? We ought to be making a spot that he can be comfortable in. Our life ought not to be full of sin. Our life ought not to be full of self. Our life ought not to be full of just wasted time. It should be an abode that is comfortable for him to live in. Do you realize that everything that you see, God sees? He's right there with you. Do you realize that everything that you hear, God hears? He's right there with you. Every place you go, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, is right there with you. Can he be comfortable with where you're taking him? Can he be comfortable with what you're watching on TV and the stuff that you're listening to on the radio? Can he be comfortable with the conversations that you're having? Can he be comfortable with your worship at church? Can he be comfortable with your devotional life? Can he be comfortable with your prayer life? Can he be comfortable living in you? He ought to be. And we ought to do everything that we can to make sure that the abode that we're making for him is as comfortable as the one that he is making for us in heaven. Turn with me to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter number 2, near the end of the chapter. We're going to look at more information about the return of the Lord and its significance to us and what it's going to mean for us. Let's look at verse number 27 of chapter number 2 and following. It says, "But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you." Now, what is it that abides in you? The Holy Spirit. "You need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." There are going to be folks who are going to be absolutely ashamed of where they are when Jesus Christ returns. It's going to happen. There are going to be Christians sitting on bar stools when Christ returns. It's going to happen. There are going to be Christians looking at things on their TV or the computer that they should not be when the trump sounds. People are going to be driving down the road listening to things they shouldn't. Christ is going to return. Sobering to think about, you know. Has there ever been anything that you would not have done if you knew that other people would find out? Sure, right? There's all kinds of things like that. In life that, you know what, when we get caught, man, we're totally embarrassed. Well, you can't believe that people know that we did that. You know, we said something unkind or whatever it was, and now people know about it, and we feel about that tall again. And we're ashamed. We're ashamed in our actions. But we're ashamed not necessarily because of our actions. We're ashamed because we got caught in that action. Which is understandable. You know, some people would say, well, you know, you shouldn't be ashamed just because of that. Well, that's a good reason to be ashamed, okay? You ought to be ashamed. When somebody catches you doing something you shouldn't and you're feeling guilty about it, you ought to be ashamed. But can I tell you that there's nothing that you do that God doesn't see? There's no place you go that God doesn't know. But man, he could return. He could return when you're in that place. He could return when you're doing that thing. And how embarrassed would you be then? How ashamed would you be? Have you ever been ashamed to the point that you felt like you'd never leave your house again? I can remember a couple of times in life. I'm thinking of a specific occurrence where we were playing cards, playing Uno, six-man Uno, six college students around a table. And I did something that totally embarrassed myself. Totally embarrassed myself, and I just wanted to die, you know? I didn't ever want to see those people again because, I can't believe I did that. You know, it's just so embarrassing. Man, the shame. That's going to pale in comparison to how ashamed we are with how we live our life on a daily basis. You know, in 2018, as Pastor Nathan has said several times recently, we have the opportunity, a clean slate, right? We can start all over. Do you know, if you're not doing devotions as a family, 2018, that's a great time to start, don't you think? You say, well, you know, I've tried before and it failed. Well, let me tell you what, try again. You know what? What works for me may not work for you. What works for my family may not work for your family. But you know what you need to do? You need to keep trying something until you get something that sticks. You know, we've tried using little kids' devotional books, and we've tried using a family devotional book, and we've tried doing this, and we've tried doing that, and we never found anything that fit until recently. We were at a national park, and God opened up our eyes. Do you know how Abraham Lincoln learned to read? He took turns reading the Bible, sitting around the kitchen table, and that's how he learned to read. And you say, that's crazy. My five-year-old could never read the Bible like that. Well, you know what? Abraham Lincoln did it, and he turned out pretty smart. You know, it's never too young to get your kids to read the Bible, is it? And you know, they don't have to read 22 chapters out of the book of Leviticus. They don't have to do that. But you know what? You can find something that works for you. What we're doing now is we'll do three chapters a night. We sit around the kitchen table and we take turns reading. The older girls read a few more verses than the younger girls. We all take our turn. We try to do three chapters. And can I tell you something that's absolutely amazing to me? Many times at the end of that third chapter, the girls say, Go read more. Because it's exciting to them. They're getting plugged into it. They're learning to have a love for the Word of God. It's a great thing. And you know what? You need to find something that works for you. That may not work for you. But you need to find something that works. Because you know why? Because if you're not spending time in the Word of God and the Lord returns, you're going to be ashamed before Him at His coming. And you know what? In 2018, that ought to be a priority. The Word of God needs to be a priority in our life. It absolutely has to be. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There is no faith without the Word of God. It's impossible. So we need to have the Word of God in our life. There are a lot of other things that we need to include in our life. But just like that example in my family's life, we struggled through things. And we would do it for a while, and it would stop, and it wouldn't work. And we'd have to change, and we'd fall off the cart for a while. We wouldn't do family devotions, and we'd pick it up, and we tried something else, and that didn't work. And we tried reading other things in different ways, in different books, and different styles, and it just things didn't work. But whatever it is in your life that in 2018 that God has shown you, you need to have in your life. Can I tell you, you need to find out what works. And you need to keep trying until you figure out what that is. For you, that may be different than me, but you need to do it. You need to do it. We don't want to be ashamed before Him at His coming. Our prayer life. Do you know we need to be praying? 2018 needs to be a year of prayer. It needs to be a year of prayer for you as an individual. It needs to be a year of prayer for you and your family. It needs to be a year of prayer. And how do you do that? We say, you know what, I try to wake up in the morning and I try to pray and I usually fall asleep. Okay, well then try something else. Well, when should I pray? I don't know when you should pray. All I know is you should pray. So try it on your lunch break. Try it at night before you go to bed. Try it different times. You know what? You need to try something and keep trying until you find out what works. It doesn't matter how many times you fail. It matters how many times you start again. 2018, we need to read our Bible. We need to pray. Oh, we can throw in anything. Church attendance. You know what? I had a man come to me. I led him to the Lord, him and his wife, years ago. Just couldn't get him to come to church. I talked to him, you know, do you know you're saved? Yeah, I'm saved. I trusted Christ. I know I'm going to heaven. Well, why don't you come to church? Well, you know, hypocrites. People in church are hypocrites. And I always tell them, hey, listen, well, we can take one more, you know. We got room. We're all hypocrites. Just get over it. We are. Not one of us always does what we say. Sometimes we don't do what we preach. That's us. We're hypocrites, right? So this guy, he's coming to me, and he's coming to me, and his life's falling apart. All this bad stuff's happening. And I said, well, let me describe your life. You accepted Christ as your Savior, and you never came to church. You lived life for yourself, not really concerned about those things, and your life has fallen apart. Okay, let's just try something, okay? How about this? You make God a priority in your life. You start coming to church. You start doing the things that you should do. And then let's see how life turns out. Oh, I don't want to do that. Too many hypocrites in church, you know? But you know what? There are probably a lot of things in life that you know are an issue. There are things that you know are an issue that you know they need fixed, and you've tried to fix them before, and you failed, so you quit. But let me encourage you. In 2018, let's not be ashamed before Him in His coming. Hey, this is our opportunity to get things better, to make them work for us as individuals. Pick it up again. Do what it is that God convinced you need to do. Straighten out what it is that you know you need to straighten out. Maybe you made a commitment to the Lord a year ago and you followed through with it for a little while. But you know what? Hey, you didn't follow through, and now you're not following through with what you told God you were going to do. So what should you do? Continue the way you are? No. 2018, clean slate. Try again. Do something different. Find out what will work for you. Because if you've made a commitment to God and He returns and you're not following that commitment, you're going to be ashamed before Him at His coming. We need to make sure that our life is following God's plan for us. Verse number 1 of chapter number 3 said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." It's an amazing thing, is it not? We're the sons of God. God has adopted us into His family. He is our Father. We're on our way to heaven. It's a wonderful relationship. "Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be." This is Christ coming. "But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is." He's coming again. There's going to be a day that we see Him face to face. It's going to be a glorious day, but I'm afraid that a lot of us are going to be ashamed. We're going to be ashamed that we didn't follow through on what we committed. We're going to be ashamed that we didn't do what we knew was right to do. We're going to be ashamed that our family life was what our family life was. We're going to be ashamed that our faithfulness wasn't what it ought to have been. But in verse number 3, it describes what we ought to be doing between the time of our salvation and the time that Christ returns. Verse number 3, "And every man that hath this hope in Him." What hope is that? That hope that when Christ is going to appear, that we're going to be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. His return. Every man that is hopeful in His return, we're looking forward to that, purifieth himself, even as He is pure. So what does it mean? It means we're making a comfortable mansion for Him here on this earth. It means we're doing all that we can to make sure that the abode of the Holy Spirit, the abode of Jesus Christ, is a comfortable abode for Him. That's a lot to think about. When we consider the spot that He has for us in heaven, how perfect it is. We consider all the areas in life that we can potentially fail God. We consider all the areas in life where we know we are failing God. And we consider that we are His abode. He is taking care to make sure it's a perfect place for us. We ought to be taking care that the abode of the Holy Spirit is a comfortable one. We can stand tonight and I can just, get a laundry list of sins out. And I could say, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. And, we could just keep going down the laundry list of sins. And, it would probably loop around this room 100 times. It'd be a big list. And in all those potential sins that are out there, I don't know how many of those would be found in our life. But I don't know. I don't know the sin that's in your life. Even if I did, me trying to convict you of it probably isn't going to help. Have you ever had somebody do that to you? Come to you and point out all the wrongs in your life, but they forget the beam that's in their eye, and you look at them and you think, what are you talking about to me when you're this, and we feel that way. But you know what? It isn't for me to convict you of the sin that's in your life. It isn't for me to to try to clean you up. It isn't for me to try to do any of those things because I'm not God. That's His job. But I do know this, if you consider what you are tonight, if you consider that you are the abode of God, that ought to do something to your thinking. That ought to make you consider the things that are going on in your life and cause you to have a desire to be clean, to be pure before God. I don't know what is going on in your life. I know what's going on in my life. I know the things that I struggle with. And I know the areas in life that I need work on. And I know the places in life that I've got to pick up and try again and start over and try to find areas and things in my life that work. And that's my goal, and we're working on that. But you know what? That's something we all need to do. Something we all need to do. We need to consider who and what we are, consider whose we are, and ask God to show us what's making Him uncomfortable. That's a whole lot different than me determining what's right and wrong in my life, isn't it? Twice in the book of Proverbs, the Bible says that the ways of man are clean in his own eyes. You know what that means? It means that we can justify anything we want to do and say that it's okay, whether it makes our abode uncomfortable for God or not. Because we want it. Because we desire it. And instead of considering what God wants, we consider what we want. You know, the question is it okay to watch this TV show? Brother Pat, what do you think? Is it okay to listen to this kind of music? Brother Pat, what do you think? Is it all right to go to this place? And I would submit to you that you got the wrong focus. You shouldn't ask me. You should ask God. And if you ask Him, He'll tell you. But it might be uncomfortable for you. Because if you did it, it might be uncomfortable for Him. We got to consider those things. It doesn't matter what I think. It matters what God thinks. I don't know what's going on in your life tonight. But I do know that if you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, you have the greatest thing on earth. Well, not even on earth. The greatest thing ever, the greatest thing that ever will be in heaven. And man, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it because, you know what, it's going to be a perfect place. And everybody, I don't think people are going to frustrate you there, you know? Am I the only one that people frustrate? Do I frustrate you like you frustrate me? I think we do, right? We've got a mutual frustration going on, right? Why does he do that? Why does he, you know, my wife will say, you know, you do this or this when you're preaching. It's kind of annoying. And, you know, it irritates her. But, you know what, in heaven, we're not going to have that. I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be a great place. And if you're here tonight, you know, that's a great reason to not want to go to hell. Because in hell, people are still going to frustrate you. But in heaven, they're not. Praise the Lord. That's enough to make a Baptist shout right there, you know? It's great. But our abode here on earth, the abode of the Holy Spirit, the abode of God, ought to be a great place too. And you know what? It can be. We've got to be clean. We've got to be clean. Allow God to show you what that means tonight. Allow God, ask Him, right? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Ask God to search your heart. And say, God, is there anything in my life tonight that's causing you to be uncomfortable? And if there is, God, show me and I'll confess it. Do you know when you ask Him in that way, I believe He'll show you. But if you ask Him begrudgingly, God, you can show me. And if, you know, if it isn't too much, then I might get it out of my life. But, you know, don't go too far here. you know, because, you know, I don't want you infringing on my fun, but I, you know, I kind of want what he's talking about. You know, I kind of want to be, you know, but, you know, I think you catch my drift, right? That ought to be our attitude. God, show me and I'll confess it, whatever it is. Show me and I'll get rid of it, whatever it is. You show me, I'll deal with it. Will you pray that prayer tonight? Will you take a moment right there at your seat right now, heads bowed, eyes closed, and ask God that? God, as best as I can, God, I don't want anything uncomfortable for you in my life. God, I'm asking you right now to show me. What is making your abode uncomfortable? God, if you'll show me tonight, I'm willing to deal with it. I believe tonight if you'll ask the Lord to show you, he will. Pastor Nathan talked about several things this morning. Bitterness. Bitterness is a big one, right? Clamor. Evil speaking. Malice. Wrath, anger, those things work not the righteousness of God. Ted's about an eyes closed tonight. How many of you say that God has shown me some things that I need to deal with, and tonight I'm going to deal with them? Anybody like that tonight? You raise your hand and say, God's dealt with me about something, I'm going to deal with it. Amen. Anybody else? Lots of hands. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I ask you to go ahead and stand. We'll have Linda begin a hymn of invitation. If God has shown you something tonight, whatever it is,